Today's sermon is entitled, Rest for the Weary. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. O Lord God of our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, the lines in our scripture today are ones we're all familiar with. Verse 28 says this, Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Verse 30 gives us another well-known line. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, these snippets are well-known because they're pulled out of the Bible and into popular culture on a repeated basis, and they're repeated on these little inspirational cards, on gravestones, on memorial park benches and peace gardens. I mean, who doesn't want to agree with these sentiments? These are promises to all who are weary, and who among us is not weighed down by the time that we get to adulthood and everything we have to deal with, and not only in our daily lives, but those things that swirl beyond our control. We want our lives more predictable. And when we're kids, we're guided by parents who help lay it out for us. They tell us this. They say, you can go ahead and do what you're planning on doing, but that might be a bad idea, and here's why. And then as kids, we are who we are, we persist. We want to get our way. We want to do what we want to do. And so when we persist in our plans, our parents would go a step further, and they'd let us know that we're probably going to hurt ourselves or others and tell us not to do it. Sometimes we might take that advice. Children are good that way, but we get into our teen years, not so much. We're not very good at taking warnings or advice from others, especially our elders, especially our parents. By the time we reach adulthood, we are so beyond all authority figures giving us this kind of guidance. We want choices, and for those choices to be ours with outcomes that are what we wish for, and for there to be no negative consequences to deal with or clean up. By the time we get to adulthood, we want choices, but we also want what we wanted as kids, in that we want lives that literally have no burdens whatsoever, much less ones that are light or heavy. And so I think it's refreshing to know that Jesus is there to come along and be our life's janitor, wresting this little passage out of context and letting us apply it to where we think it should be applied. Come to me and I will give you rest. That's what we remember out of today's scripture. The rest of it gets set aside a little bit, doesn't it? We don't remember the whole scripture. We just remember this little bit that makes us comfortable. Come to me and I will give you rest. And then we just put in some dots where the whole burden thing appears. We're letting our expectations of God starting to rewrite the Bible for our lives. And that's not good. We're just on the other side of the 4th of July here, aren't we? And it's fitting that these words come to us at this time. New Hampshire's known for being pretty freedom-minded. But we should also know that the folks who came here to establish our towns and communities all those centuries ago didn't come here with hearts that were light and free. They were looking to experience God away from kings and princes and proclamations in England and Scotland and being Catholic or Protestant on penalty of death. I don't think we can imagine that. That back then, in the 17th century, before they came to America, it was worship God this way or that and swear the loyalty oath to an earthly master or else be killed. It's that kind of experience that led to what is written, I think, in the words of Emma Lazarus, and remembered and repeated at the base of the Statue of Liberty for why America was founded and the people who come here. It says, let me not read the whole thing to you, but give you some essential verses of what it says on that base of the Statue of Liberty. Give me your poor, your tired, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. That sentiment is also embodied in the Massachusetts Irish Famine Memorial on Washington Street in Boston, and in the Embrace sculpture on the Common. That's also in Boston, right? They're testaments to freedom. They're testaments to a better hope, a better life, something beyond ourselves, and in a future that we long for and wish for. But back to our text, what is the context of these verses? We're in Matthew's gospel, I think, not too far from where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. And there, he doesn't exactly invite us to come to him if we're weary. Instead, Jesus kind of ramps up discipleship in the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't he? And in that phrase after phrase that he gives us, you hear this. He entreats us to wake up and shake up. And says, you've heard it said, he says, but I say unto you, he tells us over and over and over. And he's telling us to shape up and to get with it. And hear these words anew. So these words today, they may be lifted out of context by design, aren't they? Our passage comes today after John the Baptist's arrest, and we remember John the Baptist, don't we? The fellow who ate insects for breakfast, and he wears animal skins for clothes, and he's always preaching the stuff that no one wanted to hear. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist was the no-fun guy. But the same folks who ignored John for being no-fun now turn on Jesus for maybe having too much fun, don't they? They turn on Jesus for eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. And so, given all this context, what does it mean for us? What does it mean to be weary, carrying heavy stuff? We open today by saying we want to escape and be free from oppressive expectations and consequences, and that our parents, they tried, they sheltered us as best they could, but they also set us up for a rules-based framework for living by trying to do that, and we do that to children, but we carry that forward as adults. Do this, expect that. Live a life that's upstanding and good, and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things are going to stay away. We have that freedom ethos in our bones, so these libertarians that we are. Please don't tell us what to do or set limits. No big brother looking over our shoulder. We got this. We abhor, but I think we secretly expect rules and outcomes that guide us predictably. Now, the rabbi's set of rules and lists in the ancient world, their interpretation of the Torah, they have the Midrash and Mishnah that explain, that the verses of the Bible and give out specific scenarios. And then there's this commentary that goes through the generations and builds on God's revelation. And their interpretation of the Torah, that was called the rabbi's yoke. So Jesus' Jewish followers, when they hear this passage about yokes, they would have recognized this and as do we. Any yoke is a set of interpretations and expectations of a higher authority, right? Except for us, please, we kind of take that with conditions in our modern ears. Please let us follow those interpretations and expectations as we want here in New Hampshire. What exactly is our context? What are our burdens and yokes? Cars, maybe, that break down at the exact wrong moment when we're in a hurry. Dogs that nab a chocolate cake off the counter and the resulting vet bills. Kids who decide to play with matches or follow strangers. Spouses who promise to love and cherish until they don't and they won't. And families that just don't understand limits. Financially, spiritually, emotionally, or otherwise. Our burdens may be parents that we no longer understand. But maybe we would if we weren't so damn stubborn about our opinion of them. Sicknesses that rob our bodies and our minds of vitality. Losses of folks we've known and loved that grow in number with each passing year of our adulthood. We have so much context. We have so many burdens. And these are heavy ones. We're exasperated. But you know what? So is Jesus. And so, different than Sermon on the Mount, he comes to us with love and is no longer making us feel shameful or lazy. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. Maybe when Jesus invites us to come, all who are weary, he means us, the weary ones. We're judgmental to the point where we're just done with it and angry when we're weary, aren't we? Maybe we're the weary ones who are constantly picked apart for each and every word or facial expression, or made to feel like we're falling short. Maybe we're the weary ones who are judged and wear a scarlet letter for all to see for some long ago thing that nobody really remembers much about, but boy, that letter's still there. Maybe we're the weary ones who are weary of having all the answers and responsibilities. Or maybe we're the weary ones who don't know the consequences, much less the questions. We're weary and confused. And how can the world be safe for us when the heavy burdens close in on us? Can we be sure of one thing, just one thing, Jesus? And Jesus does come along. He says, yeah, you can be sure about one thing. How about this? I will give you rest. It's a promise, it's a release, but that rest depends on something else. It depends on a yoke. Can we libertarians stomach that, the part about a yoke? We don't read verse 29 much, do we? We started out this sermon with reading verse 30, reading verse 28, but there's an intervening part, an intervening sentence here, the part between giving us rest and getting the yoke. Go back and hear our scripture. Maybe this is the context we're looking for. Hear this, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. yolks aren't popular in our culture. But this tells us that if we're willing to learn, as children do, that we become responsible not just for ourselves, but also one another. And when that happens, our work lets others rest, and our rest makes others work. We have this unfolding kingdom of God, this circle of trust. We just need to rely on Jesus to complete the circle. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.